Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now here in this neck of the woods with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, and then also with our friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then with our friends up at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. What a joy it is just to come together, just to sit at the feet of the Lord, let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you were with us last time, you know we've started a mini series for about 3 or 4 weeks on this portrait of God. As you know, I always preach about portraits of God from the Scriptures, because that's what I see in the Scriptures, many different portraits of God. And so we're continuing our journey that we began last week on how the Lord is our deeper joy. He is our deeper joy. Have you ever stopped to think about that? You know, we're living in a very difficult season of life here in this, well, the whole world, really, and in the U.S., so many things going on politically and economically, and of course this COVID thing that we're still recovering from, and heart and mind and life rhythms. I mean, so many things, dealing with grief from the loss of so many different ways of life that got totally disrupted during the COVID era. And life is just changing at breakneck speed. But in the midst of it, we can have a joy that surpasses all understanding, because if we know the Lord, if we are one with Him, He is our deeper joy. And that's what we're exploring. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalm 90 today, and then Psalm 27 and 100 and stuff, and then in Nehemiah, just to see the Lord as our deeper joy. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these broadcasts are archived on my website at Mark PG. By the way, the PG stands for Philip Gonzalez. That's my middle name and last name. MarkPG.org. And along with those 27-minute audio broadcasts, there are some 3-minute videos that you can click on that also cover different portraits of God. There's also articles I've written for local publications. There's also some quick guides on a lot of hot topics that we deal with in life and church and family. So yeah, take a look at markpg.org, where my heart is simply this: to help you hear God. Yeah, and that's what we want to do today. So as we get started, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak so that we can hear Him, shall we? Well, Lord, we do thank You for just welcoming us into Your presence anytime we want to come and sit at Your feet and gaze in Your eyes and let You speak to us heart to heart. So as we continue our journey looking at how You are our deeper joy, Lord, I pray You'll open our eyes and ears and hearts to receive these deeper truths. Thank You for the privilege, Lord, of being able to sit at Your feet. Thank You for the privilege of being able to walk with You and in You. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends, we're coming to number 3 of 10 takeaways in this multi-week series in looking at how the Lord is our deeper joy. The first two we covered last time, and that is how the Lord, our deeper joy, comes when we remember that He chose us. That's number 1 if you're a note taker. When we remember that He chose us. Scripture says, "And He brought forth His people with joy, His chosen ones with a joyful shout." And we talked about how in the mystery of God's ways, on the one hand, He chose us before the foundation of the world unto redemption as His sons, but at the same time, we have free will. It's that mysterious way of God, the divine side of salvation and the human side of salvation. It takes both. We can't fully, logically explain how they both work together, but we know that they do because God's ways are beyond our ways. So, man, remember that if you're saved, He actually chose you. You were adopted as sons and daughters, handpicked by the Lord. And boy, that brings us great joy when you stop and think about it. He is our deeper joy. Secondly, we talked about exploring His gift of our salvation, because you see, His joy comes to us. Our deeper joy comes deeply within us when we explore the gift of salvation. Listen to Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your... This is a prayer to the Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. When you really start exploring the gift of salvation and start really embracing the reality that you were rescued from a horrible destiny if you don't come to Christ, rescued from your own sin dominating your life, rescuing you from your own selfish self. When we see the scripture says that in salvation we are new brides in Christ, not Cinderella's who became a bride, but evil stepsisters with all that sin that He proposed to, that we became a new bride. It says too in the scriptures, we're transformed, that if anyone comes to Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. It's like caterpillars who have turned into butterflies now once we get saved. And there's a oneness there that we're one in Christ. He is in us and we are in Him. All of those deep, deep truths, when you really go deep and embrace those realities, oh, the joy that will come. Explore His gift of our salvation. It's way more than just getting a ticket to heaven when we die. All right, so now we're going to come to number three. Let me take you to Psalm 90, verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Oh, my friend, we see the Lord as our deeper joy right here when we welcome His morning kindness. Number three. One was remember that He chose us. Two, explore His gift of our salvation. Number three, welcome His morning kindness. Do you welcome His morning kindness? Or do you get up and zip out to work, you know, trying to make sure you get there on time, you know, just squeezing it in, you know? Do you get up early in the morning? Scripture says that Jesus got up while it was still dark and went out to a lonely place and He prayed there. I love my pre-dawn prayer walks. There are times when God just calls me extra early and I go out on a prayer walk, and there's a trail around by our house and all. I love seeing the stars. I love seeing the planets. Had some unusual combinations here in the last few months. Side-by-side sightings of Jupiter and Venus and even the moon. But it helps me get a bigger view of God and His ways. And it puts all of the struggles we have in this life into perspective when you look at it from a pre-dawn starlit sky as you're praying and walking with the Lord. I hope you'll do that every now and then. Streets of your neighborhood, wherever you need to go. Pre-dawn prayer walks. That's one way we can welcome His morning kindness, because the Lord loves to speak to us. I love also when the sun rises. There's a place behind my house that I like to set up a chair. There's a little mini preserve and across the way, and some waterways there. And I just sit there with my Bible as the sun's coming up, using His sunrise to read the scriptures and let Him talk to me again and to welcome His morning kindness again. It's my first conversation of the day with the Lord. You know, that John 1:1 passage that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek word there is logos, and traditionally and accurately, it is translated into the English word, Word. But there's another rendition that's equally good, and we have that in English. We have words that have several definitions. So in this one, this translation, a second way you can translate logos is conversation. In the beginning was the conversation. I think of the Holy Trinity, by the way, having a holy conversation in eternity past. And then they decided to create the heavens and the earth, right? In the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning was the conversation, and the conversation was with God, and the conversation was God. And then later in verse 14, and the conversation became flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is another portrait of God, is our spiritual conversation. He's always whispering things. It's just a matter of whether we're being still enough to hear him. That's why welcoming his morning kindness is such a wonderful practice to cultivate, so that you can welcome his morning kindness by hearing him in those pre-dawn prayer walks or in those sunrise scripture readings, having that first conversation of the day with him before you talk to anybody else. These are what some people call devotionals. Others call them quiet times. In fact, there was a wonderful song back in the 70s by Andre Crouch and the Disciples. Some of you may remember that if you're up in years. And they did a song called Quiet Times. And the lyrics are just wonderful. It's those quiet times, quiet times. They are so precious to me. Lord, that's when you tell me those secret things of all you want me to be. Oh, it's those quiet times, quiet times. Day or night, it's all right with me. That's when you tell me that you love me. And that's when I tell you that I love you too. Together, there is nothing we can't do. Oh, they can't take them away from me. No, they can't take them away from me. It's those quiet times. Quiet times. Oh, my friend, cultivate a morning rhythm and cultivate the extra time it takes to get up early to welcome his morning kindness. It is a heart cleanser and strengthener and encouragement that will help you have an entirely different kind of day than if you don't do that. Because the Lord, our deeper joy comes when we welcome his morning kindness. Well, let's continue our journey to number 4, because the Lord, our deeper joy also comes when we bask in his glorious presence, which is obviously related to what I just said about welcoming his morning kindness. This takes it a little deeper about what you're doing during that time with him. Check this out in Psalm 21, verse 6. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence, O Lord. The Lord makes us joyful with gladness when we're basking in his presence. My friend, when you're having those morning quiet times, or evening quiet times, or noon break, whenever it is, it's not just a matter of doing your duty and reading a scripture and checking a box. If that's why you're doing it and how you're doing it, okay, there's a little bit of value to that. God can use anything. But if you really want to go deeper, if you really want to get a sense of his deeper joy, get that sense that you are basking in his glorious presence. You're in the presence of the Lord, the Almighty One, the Supernatural One. When you pray, when you read the scriptures, when you do those prayer walks, you are in his glorious presence. Bask in it. Soak it in. It reminds me of Psalm 27. It's such a powerful one. It says in verse 4, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." There it is. That's basking in his glorious presence. When you're meditating on the things that you're reading in scripture, you chew on them like a dog trying to get every last piece of meat from a bone. You know, when you just are meditating and letting it go over and over, the truths of scripture, the blessings that God has already given you in this life. When you rehearse in your own mind the glorious nature of God and His character, how He is our love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. I mean, He and all of these portraits we do, this whole point is for us to be able to bask in His glorious presence, to get to know who He is, what He's like. And when you do that, it changes you from the inside out. It's a deeper joy that even when you have some sad things going on around you that you're having to deal with, grief or disappointment or wounds, knowing that at the end of the day, you are immersed in the Lord, you are one with the Lord, you're the bride of Christ, you can spend time with Him and bask in His presence, it makes it okay. He, His presence, gives you a deeper joy that can be adequately explained to those who don't know the Lord. That's why the scripture also tells us over in Psalm 100. It's a classic one. I can remember memorizing this as a VBS kid, way back when I was a kid. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. This is Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And now listen to this, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Did you get that? I love that. We enter His gates with thanksgiving. We enter His courts with praise. We bask in all of that expressions of thanksgiving unto Him. We bask in his nature, in His character, in His love for us. It's an amazing thing. It's a game changer. Oh, my friend, in your quiet times, in your walk with the Lord, never forget that we enjoy His presence constantly, and sometimes it's more of His manifest presence can come up when we're spending that quiet time with Him, and we can just take it all in. We can just swim in it. We can just bask in it. And when we do, we see Him, and we feel Him, and we're experiencing Him, and we live Him as our deeper joy. He is our deeper joy. Well, we have time for one more that I really want to take us to then. So let's just take an inventory if you're taking the notes. So remember, the Lord, our deeper joy comes when we remember that He chose us. Number two, when we explore His gift of our salvation. Number three, when we welcome His morning presence. Number four, when we bask in His glorious presence. I think number three, I may have misspoke. We welcome His morning kindness. That's what I wanted to get out. Number four is to bask in His glorious presence. Now, number five, when we look to Him for joy and strength. Do you look to the Lord for joy and strength, or do you look to other things to get your joy? You know, we're living in a time when there's so many pleasures, so many activities, so many things that we can do. Entertainment industry is huge. And now we can get it on our phones and on our tablets and on our computers and on our big screens, and we can get lost in stories. And there's time to do that. But it's not a replacement for the Lord Himself, who is our deeper joy. Sometimes we kind of go through all these amusements and things, kind of like taking morphine. We get a lot of pain, frustration. So it's the morphine method of dealing with our pain. We just get busy and do fun stuff, and, you know, we travel, or we our hobby, or our media, or Facebook, or blah, 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 blah. Of course, they're the addictive ones too, alcohol and sex and all those. So we can go to the morphine method and think we're doing well, but that's not where our joy ultimately is to reside. It is to be in Him, our deeper joy. Here's how it's stated in Nehemiah chapter 8. Fascinating way they do it here. Nehemiah 8 verses 10 through 11. It says, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy." So let me unpack that for us. So the people were grieved. This is the Nehemiah. It's the story of those being in exile who've come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that had been destroyed years earlier by an invading army and stuff. And now it's just desolate, and they're having to rebuild it. But then they're facing a lot of challenges there, and they're getting discouraged, and they're grieving, and all. And wait. And so that's when Nehemiah is saying, "Don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And so the Levites, those are the clergymen, I guess, you know, you could say, calmed all the people, saying, "Hey, be still, settle down, it's okay. This day is holy. The Lord is here. The Lord is our joy. The Lord is our strength. Yeah, it looks bleak. Yeah, it's challenging. Yeah, it's overwhelming. But He's with us. He is with us. He is our joy. He is our strength." Now, I'm going to be real honest with you. Over the years, I would read passages like this and go, okay, well, I don't think of the Lord and just start laughing or anything. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what it means, He is our joy. Is it like, okay, He's got this emotion of joy, and if I hang around Him, then I get it by osmosis? Or how does this kind of work? Well, you know, it's kind of what we've been saying, that the more you get to know His actual character and heart, and the more you recognize His whispers and know that He chose you and He loves to talk with you, and you're hearing that, that brings joy, because everybody likes to be treated that special, given attention. I mean, as kids, we yearn for that from our parents, right? "Mom, look at me. Look at Daddy. Look at me. Oh, look at this. Hey, let's do this." You know, we just ached for it. Well, so it is with our Heavenly Father, and He's there. But we forget. We get busy. We get caught up in our own way too busy schedules and think way too highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We lose perspective. And we get discouraged. So what is this joy here? All right, now here we go. This is what this joy is. And I'm still learning to receive it deeper and deeper. What is that joy that the Lord has? It is His joy, not for the universe in general, not for being God, and you're not. It's His joy with you. His joy with you. Do you realize that the Lord takes great joy in His children, and that includes you? Let me ask you a question. Have you received that truth? If I were to ask you, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, what does God think about you these days? You know, 10, He's crazy about you, or kind of 1 or 2, well, you know, He's gallantly hanging in there with me, but I've been pretty, well, let me just say, kind of absent from quiet times and not really doing a lot about building His kingdom. I've kind of been doing my own thing. Yeah, I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, He's maybe a 3, you know, passable. I've got incredible news for you, my friend. Even when you're in that kind of apathetic state, even if you're in a state of rebellion, He still loves you as a 10. You are the apple of His eye. He never gives up from you. He knows how He designed you. He knows your potential. He's wanting to draw it out. But He also knows that we get caught up in ourselves. We get tempted by the enemy. We get distracted by this world. And that His ways and His joy and His love gets choked out, forgotten. But my friend, when we look to Him for joy and strength, we look to Him for the joy of knowing that He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. To the degree you receive, He loves you. He loves you, especially when you screw up. Listen, think of parents who love their little children when they mess up, and it's a blessed little heart. You know, you try to pull them together, you know, and because you love them, you know, even when they mess up, you keep on loving them. Now, if we're so wounded and we get more angry and bitter with them when they mess up, well, then we got a deeper problem. But the Lord wants to heal us of that as well. Son, daughter, I love you unconditionally. Not just when you do good things, but even when you do bad things. In fact, especially when you do bad things because you need it more. And if you will receive that and come bask with me in my presence, come have a conversation with me and receive my morning kindness, if you get to know me, your heart will change. Your heart will be strengthened. You'll feel secure because you know that you are deeply, deeply loved no matter what's going on around you. And when you're filled with that kind of love, it just comes out toward others as well. You ever feel insecure, not sure who you are, who loves you, who's with you, not sure why you're on this planet, not sure you're going to make it? You feeling that insecurity? Oh, my friend, discover the Lord for your joy and strength. Receive the fact He loves you more than you can possibly imagine, even when you mess up. That's true love. God does that. And the more we receive it, the more we look to Him for that love, that joy, that strength, the more we will experience it and be able to let the overflow minister to others. That's how it works. You don't have to gut it up to try to love somebody. Just receive how much the Lord loves you, how He has a joy with you. He delights in you. He delights in you. Even when you mess up, He looks at your deeper heart. He looks at your, oh, like sheep without a shepherd. And He says, it's all right. Come on. Come on. I love you. Let's turn this around. That's your God. Well, Lord, we thank You for being our deeper joy. And we're going to deeper places today. May we receive how much You love us and walk in that joy and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and make sure to check out markpg.org. Till next time, oh, love the Lord as your deeper joy.